65 minutes today. Thank you guys for coming today. If you don't know, my name is Ryan Voorhees. Pastor Jeff is taking this week off because he's starting an awesome series next week heading into Christmas, so be ready for that. So I'm stepping up today. First off, side note, who here's a sports fan? That's why we don't normally have sports references in this church. There's like five people in the back and they're like, yeah, everybody else is like, I can raise my hand for that. It's a church. I'm a big sports fan, if you didn't know. And anybody who knows me knows that. But I'm a different kind of sports fan. I like, if it's on, I'll watch it. But there's really only two sports I follow. Because those are the only two sports that exist. And that is Ohio State football and Ohio State basketball. And even Ohio State basketball is like, eh, it's not football though. So I'm a huge Ohio State fan. Did anybody watch it last night?
Yep.
Thank you. The six of you that did? Awesome. That was a great game, first off. Up and down points. However, I was thinking about this because I was trying to find a way that I could talk about Ohio State in my sermon. And yeah, I know. That's something that's never happened in this church before. And Jeff has to like call me and be like, hey man, I want to do a sports reference. Alright, well, what you got, man? Like, I'll try something in there. But if you think about it, every football team, they have a goal. And last night, Ohio State won the Big Ten Championship. So they won the Big Ten Championship, but if you followed them at all, and if you don't, here's a little like 12-week history, well, 13-week because there's a bye week in there, 13-week history about Ohio State. They were ranked like one of the top two teams in the nation to start out this year. They were like, everybody saw them and they thought, they're going to win the national championship because this is one of the best teams in the country. Because that's usually the expectation of this school. However, second game of the year, they lost. And they lost bad to a very good team. But it was like, you know what, they still got a shot. Okay, they still got a shot. I remember, if you were at Trump Retreat this year, you know I'm a sports fan because I was sitting out there. I didn't even bring a car. I was like, there's no need to bring a car. I'm just bringing a big box and calling it a trunk so I can set my TV up behind it. I'm going to watch the Ohio State Penn State game. And we had Georges with me. We had like a whole crowd of dudes. Yeah, I know. I'm calling you out. We had a whole crowd of dudes. They're like, yeah, take some candy. Go, go, go. because that's the thing, is they could beat the top teams in the country. But then the very next week, they lost. Really bad to a team that they should never lose to ever, 55-24. Really ugly. And everybody said, they're done. We're not going to talk about them the rest of the year. However, a lot of other teams lost. Turns out nobody was perfect. And Ohio State won a conference championship last night. So if you follow sports, you know that today at noon, technically 12:30 because it's a pregame before that, but today at 12:30 they're going to announce who goes to the national championship playoff series. There's a four-game playoff series for the national championship. And it pretty much comes down to two teams. So I say that because Ohio State, if you follow them at all and you listen to Coach Urban Meyer or you read anything about them, they say their goal is to play for championships in November. Every year. If you follow them, if you hear them, or they'll ask the coach in September, hey, what'd you think about that win? I don't care about that win. Our goal is to win championships in November. The team knows that. The players know that. The coaches know that. And the media knows it because he tells them multiple times, be quiet because I'm not talking about anything except we're going to win championships in November. I know technically it's December, but they won the Big Ten Championship. That was their mission. That was their goal. And they said, we're not going to talk about the playoff. Because our first goal is to win the Big Ten. And then we'll start a new mission. So what I love about that is They had a mission, they had a goal, and they executed it. Even though there were bumps along the way, they fought and they achieved their mission because everybody was on the same page and everybody was ready to go. So this week, we are in part two of our Mission Unstoppable. So this particular message came to me. Jeff asked me, he had mentioned before, hey man, just be prepared in case I want to take a week off, or he told a couple different leaders in the church, you know, if ever want a week off, just be prepared, like you want someone to speak or something along in there. So this is Tuesday. Tuesday morning, and I get a text from Jeff that says, hey man, do you have one prepared? I'm going to start a series, but I don't have one for this week. I just want to know if you would preach this week. And I had my phone up, and I was about to say, sorry buddy, I got nothing. Like literally, I could throw something together, but I don't want to throw something together. For you guys, and for God, and for myself, I can't do that. So I said, I was typing out. If you need me to, I will do something. But I don't have anything. And as I was typing that, and getting ready to hit send, so I take notes on my phone. I'm not like texting somebody right now. Rob, if you text me right now. That's usually what happens. During his message last week, there was something he said, something he read out of, that God pinged in my brain, and I wrote it down. It's like three sentences. You can see it. If you can't see it, sorry. Take their advice up here. It's like three sentences. And I was typing out, no, man, sorry, I ain't got a message this week. And then he said those three sentences. I was like, three sentences? Like, that was going to be like 4 months from now, that thing might be ready, because that was just like something you gave me. But he said those three sentences, so I was like, okay, and started to type, I might have something if you need that you said and I picked up on, and then before I could finish the text, the whole thing was done. And I had it outlined and sent it to him. And I was like, what? I typed that? Where did that come from? So then that day, I was at work, and I had to do a lot of outside work on lunch breaks, and I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to organize this. And I took three sentences and multiplied that exponentially. Buckle up. Mission Unstoppable. According to Business Dictionary, I don't know what that is, but according to them, a mission is not simply a description of an organization by an external party, but an expression made by its leaders of their desires and intent for the organization. The purpose of a mission statement is to focus and direct the organization itself. It communicates primarily to the people who make up the organization, its members or employees, giving them a shared understanding of the organization's intended direction. Organizations normally do not change their mission statements over time, since they define their continuous, ongoing purpose and focus. Whoops. And then, according to Chris Bart, who's a professor of strategy and governance at McMaster University, I really think people make this stuff up. I've never heard of any of those. But a commercial mission statement consists of three essential components. One, a key market. Who is your target client or customer? Generalize this if needed. Contribution. What product or service do you provide to that client? And distinction, what makes your product or service unique so that the client would choose you? A lot of you are probably thinking like, okay, you know, you're trying to remember, what did Jeff say our mission statement was last week? I don't know. It's not a resource anymore. What is it? It's on your guides for you, so you got it. And we'll get there. And you're probably thinking, okay, thanks for sharing. I'm glad that's the church's goal. That's leadership's goal. Nope. That's your goal too. If you're in this building, this is your goal too. And we're going to unpack that today. But I also want to tie in, you should know what your mission is. Your own personal mission statement as an existing human being created by God. But I'm going to hit on that a little bit more later. So let's look at our mission statement. I'll scroll a little bit. Our mission statement is we exist to share Christ's love through acceptance, action, and authenticity. It's really hot. So every body has a mission. And I mean body as a separate word. So every body has a mission. That body could be a church, a business, a nonprofit, a person. Every entity has a mission. If you don't know it, we're going to go into that. The personal mantra. And if you don't have one, get one. And I know what I read earlier said it doesn't change because they want people to remember that. I'm going to disagree with that. Because times change and directions change and people realize they need to make a difference in a different way. Companies change theirs all the time. They rebrand, change stuff around. Go to a Wendy's now. It's not the Wendy's from 1995. They still have the beef. So our mission statement is to share Christ's love through the three A's, acceptance, authenticity, and action. That could not be more clear. I'm going to highlight, that does not mean our goal is to hijack conversations and force people to Jesus. Our goal is not to get on social media and call people out. I added that one in, so I got to find myself now. Our goal is to share Christ's love. We're not a program-driven church. We have some programs, we have some ministries, and I love them. We've partnered with Hope Has Risen. We've got children's ministry downstairs. We've got a ladies' ministry. We have some things that we do. But we don't have a program every single hour of every single day to tie in to every single thing. Because that's not our mission. Our mission is to share Christ's love. Yesterday, we had an awesome event. If you were here, raise your hand. Woo, all right, thank you, everybody. We had an awesome event, Cookies with Santa. If you're one of our guests who came here, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Because you know what our goal of that event was? Our main goal of Cookies with Santa was not to get people to come to our church. It wasn't. That may be a side goal. Sure. If that happens, awesome. Our goal was to show them we want to give you something. Get pictures of Santa, eat some free cookies. We just want you to know that people love you and we want to do stuff for you. And if they decide to come to church, cool. If they decide to come to Jesus because we were able to share his love, yeah. Even better. So that's what's crazy, is our goal is just to share the love of Christ. And why? Why is that our mission? Because Jeff said it was last week, that's why that's our mission. That's true. But the reason that is our mission is it goes back, like he said, I was touched by this. Blew my mind when he was talking about, and it's not the song, Because He First Loved Me. Evangelism should change exponentially across the world. You can't force someone to love Jesus. Just tell them he loves them. Show them he loves them. We are the hands, we are the feet. Even when you do this to the little ones, you have done this for me. Share Christ's love to them. Because we know the sacrifices he made and he died for our sins, and we've experienced that love, so we want to show them. That's why that's our mission statement. But ask yourself, because that's our mission statement. Where do we fit in? Where do you fit in? Where do I fit in? I'm going to go to a verse that PJ used last week. Throw me my verse. This is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 12. We're going to read a lot. So I only put like the address in your bulletin guide because I don't know if I can fit it all. So, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary.
Yes, amen.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor.
Amen.
And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no... Someone help me. Schism, thank you. In the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Or are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Or do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Love that verse. So this is where those three sentences came out. As Jeff read that verse, and my mind went, whoosh. So think about this. A hand can lift weight. The arm is connected to the hand that lifts the weight. I used to go work out with Trey. I said, used to, but definitely don't anymore. I'll tell you what, that joker can lift some weight. And you know what? Outside of some really strange weightlifting competitions that are probably on like ESPN 12, your ears do not lift weight. I know, now y'all got weird pictures in your mind. I'm just gonna let that marinate for a second, because that's what I'm gonna make. But you know what? An ear can listen to the problems of others. An ear can help and listen, which is sometimes all that somebody needs. But the tongue, you know what? Tongue can't hear anything. I've tried. Tongue can't hear anything. But you know what the tongue can do? It works together with the ears and the brain to be able to speak life and encouragement into somebody.
Yes.
So I'm going to look at a body, just like a human body. You have the feet that move the body, the eyes that see and guide, a nervous system that triggers responses, a digestive system that expels waste. There's a role for everything in the body, every single thing.
Yes.
And this translates. You know somebody with an autoimmune disorder? Maybe someone with such a disability as blindness or deafness. A person can function. A body can function. I know it. We've seen our friends who are deaf or blind or disabled in some way, shape, or another. And if you are, I'm not saying you are less of a person in any way. But think of how much more a body could accomplish. Everything is working together properly. Each part has its own role, its own duty to keep the body running, working, and succeeding. But then, let's think of it down one step further. Is that every body inside of a body has a mission. You guys are like, he's saying the word body like 4,000 times. For instance, a human body has the goal to live and survive. just going to like cut basic down. And if that's your mission statement, we need to talk. But the human body has the goal to live and survive. But inside that body, there are parts. The white blood cells, they have a mission to protect the body that is trying to live and survive. The digestive system is trying to feed the body that is trying to live and survive. Think of our church. We exist to show Christ's love through the three A's. So think of a team within our body. If you don't know, we have a security team here. It's not a secret. We live in a crappy time. I don't know if I can say that, sorry. But we have a security team. And you know what? Their goal is to protect us, the body that's trying to share Christ's love.
Yeah.
Think of a worship team. Their goal is to lead us into a time of worship in the presence of God in the body that exists to share Christ's love. Then let's go down further to a member on a team within the body. Like I can go down and down and down the line as it goes. Anybody ever heard of laminin? If you've listened to Louis Giglio, you're like, I know where you're going with this.
Yes.
Laminin is a microorganism. I'm not a science guy at all. Not anymore. I left college years ago. But laminin is a thing in your cells that holds everything together. And it's shaped like a cross. It's a really cool parallel there. But it holds everything together. So that holds the cells together within the white blood cells that protect the body that is trying to live and survive. Each single member has a goal to make their body, to make the next body, to make the next body succeed. If you didn't know, I play a little music. I'm usually a bass player. I bought my wife a piano for her birthday, which means I bought myself a piano for her birthday. As a keyboard, sorry. Translates though, it's got key. So I want you to think of this. The way I think of stuff in music, I don't know, this one's not checking out, so I'm going to use this one, Rob. Is you have chords in music. Who knew that? Who knows music at all? All right. If you don't know music, you're going to get a very brief music lesson, because I just play single notes as a bass player, so the band here is going to be like, who knows that stuff? So for instance, a chord typically composed three parts, a one, a three, and a five. You want a G chord. Ta-da. However, if you mess that up, it ain't going to sound right. The way the body should work, and the way we work as a band, is I gotta hit the same note sometimes that Greg is hitting. Sometimes he's playing something cool and I can't play that. And Tom and I gotta hit the same note, and I gotta hit at the same time Trey hits. And Jeff's gotta lead us where he's at and hit the right note. So everybody's gotta be on point at the right time to lead us into the presence of the body that's trying to share Christ's love. So likewise, it doesn't have to be just music. This is any team. When you have harmony, it sounds good. This is the first song I taught myself almost after we got this. So hear it this way. Sounds good.
Thank you, everybody.
The notes, they work together, they work in harmony. That's the way they're supposed to. If one person decides, I ain't doing that, I don't want to do it that way. Doesn't work. It kind of puts itself together towards the end, But it starts out, you notice something's wrong with that. I don't like it, it doesn't sound right. But then it comes back together, because you know what the body can do? Recovers itself.
Yes.
Yes.
Picks up on itself.
Amen.
Anybody ever heard of Popeye muscle before? Like three people? Okay, it's a true condition. My dad had this. This is why I know it. If you tear your rotator cuff, sometimes your tear is bad and you know it, you feel it right away. Which is my dad's left arm. He tore his rotator cuff. Didn't even know he tore it. His bicep compensated for his torn shoulder. The reason he went to the doctor, he had a lump on his arm. A huge lump right here. He went to the doctor and they're like, that's a muscle. He's like, I know that ain't my muscle. My dad could be a strong guy, but he knew he didn't have like that. And they're like, no, what happened is your shoulder, you tore your rotator cuff, and your bicep compensated for it. The body will naturally pick up on the errors and the mistakes of another person. To hold it up. But you know what? There's still going to be that bad note right in there. However, likewise, in music, you can make the slightest change, and it's beautiful. So if everybody's used to, I played a G chord before. Whoops, nope. A G chord. And you add to it a lower G. To fulfill the chord. There's a note called, and there's tons of these, I'm not going to go into all of them. What if you played something called a G over B? Still just as beautiful. But if everybody's thinking, no, we only play a G. I will only play a G chord. And then one guy goes, what if we throw in a B? You know what? I love it. I love the way it sounds. Throw in a B. Anybody ever heard that song, All My Hope by Crowder? If you haven't, then you like live in a box, because it's everywhere. The way that song goes, there's a G over B in there. If you didn't know, Jeff knew because I heard him say it. If I played that a straight G, it sounds different. A little extra to it. It makes it better. That's where it's important to listen to one another within the body as well. You got to know, is it going to make harmony? And you know what? Because we've done this. Sometimes you're like, try it. Nope, nope, that was a bad idea. Cut that quick. Been there. You've all been there. You're like, yeah, we did that once. But you know what? When you listen to each other and you work it out, that G over B, just changes it ever so slightly. Just enough that I love it. I got a verse for you. It's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So we are called to a mission, to a role. What is your role? Maybe you should be working in children's ministry. Everybody like, I walked through that hallway. I've worked in that hallway, okay? And we do a great job down there, right? Yeah. They do a phenomenal job, but you know what? Everybody can always use help. Maybe you would like to serve on our impressions team. Always use people out there. When it rains, I love this. When it rains, we sometimes have people out there with umbrellas walking people in. You know what? Everybody doesn't park and pull up in a 5-minute interval so we can walk every single person in. The more people we have out there, the better. Maybe you are secretly trained in like military tactics and safety protocols. I don't know. That's not me. I can tell you that. Go talk to Trey. He'll sign you up for the security team. Maybe you have the ability and the ear to notice the slightest changes in volumes and tones and the knowledge to perfect a soundboard. See, Rob?
Yeah.
And maybe you're saying, well, Ryan, I don't have any of those skills. I'm an accountant. Awesome. You can count the tithe money. Am I still not hitting on your gifts? Do you feel insignificant then? What can I contribute to this body? What can I possibly do? Does this church even need me? Yes. Yes, we do. Because you're a part of this body. You don't have to serve on a team to be needed. You don't have to be the greatest musician. Have you ever heard of leading from your seats? You know that you can pray for the leaders of this church. Being here is a need of the church. Being engaged, being a part of the service. You know, something about me is I've always been ministered to by watching people.
Yeah, that's right.
True, man.
Since I was young and in youth groups, yeah, I love my time with the Lord and to pray and to worship, and I'm moved within that into His presence. But for me, and I can't speak for you guys, but for me, when I'm over here playing, and I look out, and I see people just broken for Jesus, on their face, or jumping up and down, praising the Lord, I'm moved closer into His presence.
Yeah, that's
right.
So there are many roles for you. I've always been ministered to that. So be here. Bring people. Greet people. Be a part of the church. Tithe. Now you're like, oh, hold on, Ryan. Did you just say that my only contribution is money? Nope. I did not. One of them. 10%. You were told to. But that's a different sermon. It's just a little reminder. This is about our contributions to the body. Sometimes your contribution is to give and serve. But sometimes your contribution is to receive. A stomach, where it does a couple other things, one of its jobs is to receive. Sometimes that's your role. Sometimes you got to take a back seat in your other role so you can receive.
True.
The various parts of the body are always in a fluctuating give and take relationship all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know the biology behind that 100%, but look it up and you will see the way cells give and take, the way the body works together and give and take signals. And it's beautiful, the way we were designed and created. When the body is hungry, the stomach speaks. You're like, Ryan.
Amen.
Yeah, it's close to lunchtime. Quit talking about it. The stomach speaks, but the mouth moves to fulfill the need. If you're if your feet are swollen and sore, your hands can rub them. Help them feel better. If you have an itch, your hands can scratch that itch. Different cells and parts of the body work in tandem together. And some pieces are really just there to soak things in. You have a role and you have a place in this body. I want to look at the verse that I love, and this is where it hit me. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary.
Yeah.
That's what hit me last week. Parts of the body that seem weaker are the most necessary. In some translations, that's what it says. I'm not calling anybody weak in any way, shape, or form. But I want you to think of it this way. If nobody showed up here on a Sunday morning, you know what would happen? We'd still praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There would be not a single person in this seat, but those who came to serve, we're still going to praise Him.
Yeah.
And we're still going to talk about His goodness.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But you know what we'd be missing? The rest of our mission. We ain't got nobody to share with. If there's nobody in here, nobody for us to share with but each other. That's the point. That's the main ingredient in our mission statement. Our church is not Pastor Jeff. Our church is not the worship team. It may be Rob, because he does a lot. But he's gone on vacation before, and we've held it together. No, our church is not one individual. It is not one team. It is a body. You are the church. And you are the most important part of the church, because you, outside of our Lord Jesus that we're going to praise, you are the reason that the leaders come here and operate and think and pray over this every single week. For you. Amen. So being here is important. Your role here is incredibly important. Being here, being on time, and ready to worship. That's your role. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The translation, I think it says it on here. Transformed into the same image. We all have the same goal. Yeah. If we're transformed into the same image, we have to have the same goal.
Right.
You might have different roles in that, as we talked about. We got a security team. Outside of Trey, because I know he plays on both sides, I don't necessarily want a guy up here who's trained to tackle somebody trying to play Greg's role, unless he's also an awesome guitar player. Jeff, check into that. But we all have different roles with the same goal. What's our goal? Is it to get to heaven? That's a trap question, Ryan. Right. You remember what I spoke on a few weeks ago? The end goal of humanism is to get to heaven. The end goal of Christianity is that God gets glory whether or not I go to heaven. So then, how does God get glory? By sharing the love of Christ.
Yes.
And then those people coming to know Him.
Amen.
Do you see a pattern?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's our mission. So ask yourself, ask the Lord, what is my role? What is my mission within this body? What is your mission within Living Water and within Living Water's mission? The leaders... 4 or 5 years ago, we took a trip to a church in South Carolina. The pastor there gave an awesome illustration. And he said, their church is a lot like ours. I don't remember the percentage, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but the percentage of our church that volunteers and serves in some capacity. For a long time, we were at like 92% of the church served. That's unheard of, and you guys are phenomenal.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This pastor was talking about his church. This is a massive mega church. Thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of people attend his services. And he said, whenever they sit down with somebody, or they talk to a new member, or you know, they're getting ideas, the first thing people always say, they're like, oh, okay, you know, where do you think you could plug in and work? Oh, I should be on the worship team. Exactly where I should be. Okay. Sometimes you think you're called to be on the worship team. You may not be. However, if you are, you're called to be on the worship team, you know what he said to do? Come here before anybody else gets here. Be the one to load the gear. Plug in the cables. Know how everything works.
That's right.
And show them I want to serve.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're really called to be on the worship team, you're going to be singing praises at the top of your lungs so that everybody can hear. That's the voice of an angel that needs to be on this team. You may be wondering, you know, Ryan, you reference worship and the worship team a lot. It's because I talk about what I know. There are a lot of other places someone can serve and help out. I know the worship team because I've been there. But I only know what I know. So, you know, I also serve in children's ministry, and I do sometimes on Wednesdays. Like I said, maybe you could fit in there. Help on a rotation with the production team, running slides, checking sound, moving gear. You could offer to clean. Yeah. Mow. You're like, what? Mow? Yeah, there's grass out there. You can mow it. You know what? Coming up soon, there's going to be this white stuff that falls from the ground and magically appears in the morning. Yeah, it's true. Thank you. And we got a team of people that take care of this stuff. You're like, really? Yeah. It's usually Rob, but we have a team of people that does this stuff. They will never, ever, ever, ever turn you down if you said, I want to help you clear the parking lot in the morning. You know what? When are you going to come here and clean? I'm going to stick my hand in that toilet and scrub it out. They're not going to be insulted when you ask them that. I guarantee you. It's weird. You know, I operate in that too. When I get to church, I expect it to be clean. Because it is. Not because I'm like, this church better be clean when I get here. No, I just expect it to be. I'm ready for it to be. I expect my gear to work. To the kids who touched my amp yesterday, I remind you. But I expect my gear to work. I expect stuff to be where it's supposed to be. I expect the bathrooms to be open, the grass to be mowed. And not because I'm thinking, this better be done or I'm going to be upset. No, it's just because it is. My mind has trained itself that that's just done. Somebody does it. I don't even know everybody who does it. But they do. You know, there is a thing in psychology. If you've ever taken a psychology class, the first thing they teach you is this thing called the bystander effect. It's terribly tragic and a ridiculous phenomenon. I'm going to share with you three examples of the bystander effect. So you're not like, well, that wouldn't be me. No, you can hear all these. First bystander effect was literally a study conducted where they put a person in a room by themselves to answer survey questions. So if you ever signed up to take a survey, more than likely those questions is not the reason you're there. They're using you for some hamster wheel experiment. But they sat in a room by themselves. And then what they did, people on the other side went to the door and pumped smoke underneath the door. 100% of the time, the people went to the door to alert the people, hey, there's smoke. Then what they did for a control, or this was the real part of the experiment, that one is the control. They put 4 to 5 people in the room. One of them was the subject. The other 4 were actors. Pumped smoke underneath the door. A very small percentage of people got up to alert that there was smoke coming in the door. Because they see, well, if nobody else cares, then I shouldn't care. Along those lines, there was one where they had a picture drawn. I wish I would have thought to throw this up there, but this just came to me. So you get 4 examples. They had a picture drawn. They had 3 lines, A, B, and C. A was a very short line. C was a medium-length line. B was a very long line. Drawn, just simple. And a line of people, in front of people, the first 4 people were actors. And they asked them, which line is longer? To see how the others would respond. And they would say, C, which is the medium one. It's not longer. They purposely all answered wrong. C, 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 C. Gets to the real people. The majority of people answered C. Some, for fear of looking like they were wrong. They were like, oh, they said C, I'd be an idiot if I thought it was B. When clearly, and it's a visual representation, clearly B was longer. But for fear of looking different, they said C. So some people said C because they didn't want to look wrong. Some people believed because everybody else said it. When asked afterwards and surveyed, why'd you answer that? Because that was longer. They had remembered C being longer when it wasn't. This story is another one. These last two are not psychological experiments. They are true life things that happen that break your heart. There was a man on a beach. I don't remember the location, so I'm not going to get it wrong, but this is a true story. A man was on a beach with his mother. It's a busy beach. And some people believed he was going to end his life. He walked out about 150 yards, 1.5 football fields, water is up to his neck, standing there. You know how many people helped him? The fire department came. The fire department said, we do not have the equipment to go out into the water and rescue somebody. The police officers thought the firefighters were going to rescue the man. There were people in their houses along the beach watching it. There were people standing on the beach. Not a soul went out to that man because everybody thought somebody else would do it. Finally, the man collapsed from hypothermia into the water. Several minutes passed before an onlooker finally said, this is ridiculous, and dove out there to get the man who died there in the hospital. Because everybody thought somebody else would do it. The most famous case, and this is where the bystander effect started, and there are now conflicting reports of the validity of the case, but it makes a great example. And the other cases are true. This one is a lady named Kitty Genovese. Anybody know her? I don't know if anybody's heard the story before. In the 1960s, she was murdered on the street, violently. Not to paint a picture of the graphic death, but she was stabbed to death. The initial reports say there were 31 people around when this happened. Nobody called the police. Nobody stepped in to say anything because everybody thought somebody else would. Like I said, the reports conflict now, and it apparently went from the house to the street, and people thought, oh, it's just lovers fighting, or it's just people quarreling with each other. Somebody did call the police, but then the police didn't come. And somebody did go to her right after she died. But the fact remains that there were multiple people around that did absolutely nothing while a woman died. That's a human mentality that exists. Going with the crowd, or not trying to figure out where you fall in that crowd. Somebody else will do it when there's more people involved. We hear cases of firefighters running into a burning building, and that's their job, and that's what they do, and they save people. I wonder, I don't know the stats, if you had 50 firefighters and one person dying, would all the heroic men rush in there? Or would they all wonder which one of them is going to do it? It happened to the man on the beach. Don't wait for someone else. Do it. And you may say, well, you know what, Ryan, if I saw somebody get murdered, I would do something. Nobody did. And you know what? I guarantee you, you see people going to hell every day how many times you say something. We exist to share the love of Christ through acceptance, authenticity, and action. Find your role within that. Don't wait for something to go wrong. and then point it out. Step in front of it beforehand. So maybe you have a heart for worship. I mentioned before, I speak to what I know. And I know the worship team. And I know that we operate as a worship-driven church. So maybe worship is your calling, and you have such a passion for it, but you couldn't carry a tune if you had a forklift. I can hear you guys even with earplugs. I know it's true. So pick up an instrument. Or maybe you don't want to learn an instrument. Maybe you're not ready to learn an instrument. I'm not telling you to do that. But really, maybe that's your passion. You can't sing, you can't play an instrument, you don't know the first thing about music. Worship's not just the music. You have such a passion to pour out during worship and to see this church be freed and released just during praise. Then get out of your seat, come to the front of this pew, and I want you to worship your brains out in front of everybody else. I didn't say put on a show. There's power in being an example. There's something about seeing and experiencing someone else and then feeling led to join in that yourself. David said, I'm going to become even more undignified than this. So leave the seats in the back for the guests that are going to fill up, because if we're out there sharing the love of Christ, there's going to be people that want to know what's going on in here. And if every single seat in the back is filled up, guests do not want to come and sit right here. You know how I know? Because nobody's sitting right there. Now, we got a couple people right here. Good job, guys. People naturally have a mentality to be a part of something and try to not be a part at the same time. So we exist to share Christ's love. We're going to go out there and we're going to fill up this building. So you want to show Christ's love? Move up a few rows. Maybe that's your role. Maybe you come and you receive, but you want to do something more. Give up your seat to a guest. Maybe you have something that God has gifted you with. Use that for the kingdom. See, I cannot sit down with every person. I know Jeff cannot sit down with every person. If you walk in our doors, I cannot. We try to reach out to you, ask you how your experience was, and we will do that. But we can't sit down with every single person in here and ask them what's your calling and where we're going to plug you in. Now, that being said, it is a leader's duty to notice and bring out the greatness and calling in others.
Amen.
You know what? A leader can't do that if you ain't going to be a part of it, man.
Right. Yep.
If you just decide to slip in the back door and slip right out the back door, never talk to anybody, nobody gets to know you outside of your first name, how am I ever supposed to know the amazing gifts that God has blessed you with? It's our job as leaders to see the blessing, gifts, and talents in others. But you got to be willing to show it. You know, I always wondered about that, talking about slipping in and out the back door, because people always just want to not sit up front during church. You come to a concert, I can understand a movie, it's a giant screen. Get that. You go to a concert, you go to see a speaker, you go to anything else. People flock and pay 10 times the amount to sit at the front.
Yep.
You get to a church, it's like, I don't want to be called on. It's a magic show, right? You might see a miracle happen, but I'm not going to call you out and say, hey, come up here. But you never know what you want. You see, I cannot go into your work, your family. I can't go to your neighbors and follow you wherever you go and talk to Jesus, to those people for you. But you can. See, I have my own places I go. I have my own work. I have my own job, my own family. You all have your places to go. Your part and your role is to go to those others. Because that mission statement does not stop at the edge of the parking lot. You are a part of this body. So whatever your role and your mission inside of that should be within the role and the mission to share the love of Christ. But not just within here. You got to do it out there as well. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In another version I have, it says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. You see, your role is to tell others, to share Christ's love through your own acceptance, action, and authenticity, and bring them to hear, where then the leaders and the people can share the love of Christ and share the gospel with them. So I want to ask you then, what is your role? You don't have to answer it. I want you to think about it. And you know what? Like I mentioned before, we got 92% or so of people that volunteer in this church. Thank you. So maybe you're sitting there and you go, I know my role. I know exactly where I fit in. I know exactly what God has called me to do. And I'm walking in that, and I will do that with excellence for the kingdom. Awesome. Remember it. Think on it. And don't ever let it go. If you don't know, you got some steps to take. Second, what is your mission? Do you know? I read the verse before, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Everybody has a mission. What's yours? It took me a while to figure this one out. And I believe mine regularly changes. Because to answer that question, you have to answer the next question. What's your passion? God is not going to give you a passion for something to watch you do nothing with it.
That's right.
For instance, if you're a mom and you have a passion for your kids, your mission may be to raise godly children that respect authority and are competent. Maybe you have a passion for the homeless. Don't let that go. You got to do something with it. And I hope I'm saying something right now, and you're thinking, God's giving you something. As I'm saying, what is your passion? And you know right away, it's this, but I don't know what to do with it. You got to pray on that one. Because He didn't give you that for nothing. There's a reason that's inside of you. And He's trying to draw it out of you. You got to do something with it. You know what? Maybe your passion is pottery. You can do something for the kingdom with that. Yeah. I don't know what. I'm not a pottery person. But you know what? You could take that. You could create beautiful works of art and bless others with it. Yeah. I'm not here to tell you how to use your passion. And I am not here to give you your mission. God's already given it to you. He has already given you a mission because He's given you a passion for something. I don't know what yours is, and I can't answer it for you, but only God can do that. And now maybe you're sitting there, you're kind of defeated. I don't know what my passion is. I go to work, come home, I just want to crash at the end of the day. I'm so out of tune. I don't even have passion. I need to get things in alignment. If there's not a passion burning inside of you, there's no mission. There's no reason for existence. God has given you something. You need to tune into that and find out what it is. Pray with me. Be praying. I want to ask you while you're praying. Think of this. Answer it inside yourself. Do you know your mission? Do you know what God is speaking to you and saying you need to do. I want you to raise your hand. Just keep praying. Raise your hand. If you know inside what your passion is and what your mission is, raise your hand. First off, don't let that go. Put your hands down. But don't let that passion, that mission go. And if you're thinking, yeah, you know what? Jesus, I know the passion you've given me. I know the desires in my heart that you have dropped into me. But I don't know what that looks like. Spend some time with it. Get your answers. Research it. It's a great, great first step is to research your passion. Find out some way you can do something. Find out what your personal mission is. And ask God to guide you every single step of the way. Now, keep praying. I'm going to ask you, who here doesn't know? Raise your hand if you don't know. You're sitting here. Maybe your heart is broken because you don't know. Or maybe you hate the fact that it's not broken, that you don't know. I'm going to pray for you. God, people that were brave enough to raise their hands and say, I don't know what my mission is. I don't know the passion that God has given me. God, I pray that you right now speak into their beings, touch their soul, and grab their heart and say to them, this is why I put you on this earth. Ignite a fire within them. And I pray that they change their disciplines. And they change their minds and their hearts so that they make their goal to reach into that passion and find their mission. God, do not let them go. Do not let them leave here today without finding that. God, I pray for the people within this building that know their mission or those that are trying to find it. And I pray that every single person in here finds their role within our body. God, we exist to share your Son's love to the world. And I pray that we are in a perfect harmony, in a perfect body and union, that everybody works together to achieve that goal. And that we find our spot and our role, whether that's serving on a team or whether that's being in attendance. That we share Christ's love. My last question. Keep praying. Maybe you're here and you don't know your mission and you don't know your passion. Because you're sitting here thinking, Ron, I don't even know Jesus. You know? I feel like if I knew him, I would have that. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me mention how he forgives your sins. And he can change your life. If you're here and you don't know him, but you want to, please raise your hand so I know how to pray for you. So I'm not going to leave this stage without giving the opportunity to somebody if they need that. If you are here, and you don't know your mission, you don't have that passion, but you also don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm here to tell you, he loves you.
Amen.
He created you, and he loves you.
So if you need him, please raise your hand so I know how to pray for you. I'm not going to let it linger. I'm not going to stay here forever. I want to give you a chance. Father, I give you all glory, all praise, all honor. I thank you that I am a part of a church that has fantastic leaders. Leaders that you have given a vision to. You've given a mission to. And a mission that will hopefully and undoubtedly change the world. God, I pray for those again that are searching for their passion. Ignite it. God, ignite it. Feel like you won't let me move on from that. God, just whoever is needing that. Pour it into them. Like it in them.
Yes.
If you raised your hand before saying that you didn't know your mission and you didn't know your passion, I want you to turn to the person next to you. You don't want to do this, but I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, pray for me right now.
Yes.
And maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you were too scared to admit, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, pray for me right now.
Yes.
Because the body can heal itself, can compensate for areas that are missing. How much more can a body do? All the parts work together strongly. God, reach into those people and give them a passion. I would encourage you, you know what? I would encourage you, maybe you do have a passion, but you don't know how it relates to church. You don't know how it relates to Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you can use it. You know that? I'm a huge, huge, huge superhero comic book fan. And you know what? I've got the ability to talk to people that may not openly talk to somebody else then. You might have a passion and you don't even realize it's in there. God, I want to keep going. I want to move on. Ignite that, God. And I'm going to pray also. People, those of you who raised your hands and you said, I do know. You know what? I do know what it is. I have a passion. I'm going to pray, Lord, you burn that deeper. Passion is a fire inside of you that God has given you. Telling you where you should go. I pray that God ignites that fire so you can't ignore it. You can't stifle it. You can't say, yeah, I'll do that next year. Or yeah, I'll get to that after my kids grow up. No, you don't get that option with God. Because you know what? If you don't do it, somebody else will. So I'm going to pray for the people and also know what their passion is. They know what God is burning inside of them. God, you don't let that go. I want that to be a reminder. First thing they think about in the morning is, how can God use me today? We exist to share the love of Christ to the world. Find that passion within you. God, we love you. I thank you. You've done more for us than we could ever ask for. I've seen you gift many gifts and blessings upon people, and we don't deserve it. So I tell you, thank you, God, and I praise you, and we're going to use those for you, God. Thank you, God. We give you all glory.
Yes.
All thanks, God, and all praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Ryan. Great job. Challenged by that. We don't realize the layers of what it takes to unpack a mission and to live that day after day. I just got two things to tell you. First of all, Heather wanted me to let everyone know that we have a ton of cookies. And from the looks of some of you and listening to your stomachs growling, you love cookies.
Stomach speaks.
On your way out, the impressions team they've got some on tables and they'll be handing out in bags. Grab one or two or whatever, however many you want. Take one for grandma. Whatever. Secondly, next week I'm going to begin my Christmas preaching series. Something the Lord, it won't be new to you perhaps, but something that really jumped out at me as I'm reading the Christmas story is the overwhelming common denominator and the most prevalent emotion in the entire Christmas story, regardless of what book of the gospel that you read it in, or what translation or whatever, it wasn't joy. It wasn't even peace. It was fear. That is why every time an angel showed up with a message, it would always open with, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." And in an attempt to try to address some fears that we all deal with, I'm going to use the message that the angels were communicating to the characters in the Christmas story and use that as a template to apply it over our lives, so that we can hear God speaking to our heart and say, "You have nothing to be afraid of." Because we like to pretend like we're not afraid. But when the rubber hits the road, we can be afraid. So I just challenge you, and I invite you and strongly encourage you to be here for those messages. I needed them as I'm preparing them even now. You don't realize what God wants to kind of mine out of you until you really start diving into the characters in the Christmas story. You know, they were like real people. Like, this is, it's not like just the fairy tale. And this teenage girl that had never been with a man is going to have a baby that can save the world. She had every right to be afraid. The shepherds had every right to be afraid. Joseph had every right to be afraid. And it's very relevant for us. And I want to address our fears. So I ask you to do that for that. God bless you for being here today. I pray God minister to you in some way. And Wednesday night, we'll be here to pray. I invite you to come. We just open the church up for prayer. And just grab a hold of the heart of God. So God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. Thank you.